This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. The placebo, once a necessary variable for testing the efficacy of medicines, is now being studied as a legitimate form of treatment. Ted Kapchuk is director of the Harvard Program in Placebo Studies and the Therapeutic Encounter at Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center in Boston. His work focuses not on whether the placebo effect exists, that's been established, but why and how it could play a role in Western medicine. Ted, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thank you for inviting me, Virginia.
We found a profile of your work in Harvard Magazine, which detailed a study. Now, this was comparing the pain-relieving effects of two different kinds of placebos against each other. Can you tell us more about that study?
Sure. One of the questions is, do different rituals of healing or different rituals of medical intervention, do they have a different kind of placebo effect? And what we did in that experiment is take people with chronic arm pain, and we randomized them to either fake device. In fact, it was a fake acupuncture treatment that looked like acupuncture, but actually the needle went up the shaft instead of going into the body, versus a sugar pill. And we found that for reducing pain, fake needles were better. For helping insomnia, pills were better.
So,
meaning that the rituals of medicine, different rituals produce different healing or salubrious effects.
Rituals meaning that you get attention from a medical practitioner. Someone lays their hands on you.
What I mean by ritual, what I mean here is that our fake needle and our fake pill obviously had no effect. Mm-hmm. They're inert. They have no effect on health or illness. But what surrounds the needle, what surrounds the fake pill is the activities of being in a healing encounter, mm-hmm. like the doctor-patient relationship, like being in a healing environment, like the behaviors of waiting for the doctor, going into the office, hearing your story, being asked to undress, put back your clothes, then told something, they know what to do, and they give you something, and you do something. Those are what I call rituals.
Huh. Well, okay, so placebos are inert, as you said, no apparent active ingredients. So what have they been found effective to deal with, and what can they not do?
Sure. Well, it seems, and the evidence is still far from conclusive, but it seems that placebos are mainly able to change how a person experiences their illness. A placebo won't shrink a tumor, but will modify the amount of pain, discomfort, and fatigue a person has from a cancer. The placebo is about changing self-appraisal. How much does this make me feel uncomfortable or uneasy.
Mm-hmm.
While the placebo probably, as far as we can tell, and some of my experiments strongly suggest this, is that do not change the underlying biology of a disease.
So you studied Eastern medicine, I know, specifically acupuncture, Chinese herbs. Now, are those considered to be placebos? You know, that you've got scientific medicine and this is placebo medicine? Is that the way it pans out?
Well, I think that some people might say that. Other people would say the exact opposite. I'm neutral. I research ritual. I don't research active ingredients, so I can't comment whether acupuncture or herbal medicines are active or only just the same as placebos, because I don't do that as a work.
So what?
Though I'm trained in that form of healing from earlier days.
Well, I'm wondering what's happening then physiologically in the brain or the mind that results in healing for the body when engaged in this ritual.
Well, there's a lot of research to show.
You're a busy man, Ted Kapchuk.
No worries. There's a lot of research showing that when people, that even though placebo is directed primarily at pain or discomfort or depression or feeling bad, fatigue, that there's physiological correlates, that things happen in the brain that that are objective and measurable that explain why people change their feelings and experiences. For example, we do know that when people get fake pills, fake injections, that the brain releases neurotransmitters that modulate things like pain. For example, we know that a fake treatment will cause the release of endorphins or CB1 cannabinoids in the brain, which actually modulate the effects of pain the person has. We also know that when someone responds to placebo treatment, we've done these experiments, that certain areas in their brain are activated that are known to modulate the experiences of discomfort and discomfort that people feel. So there's a biology underlying how people, that helps explain why people who are in a doctor-patient relationship, who are getting treatments, are helped by the ritual. Can I say a drop more?
Yes, just a drop.
Okay. Well, I just want to say that placebos is not only about fake medicine, it's about real medicine. When you give a real medication, it's not that real medication also has placebo components. For example, if you give someone morphine IV surreptitiously, they don't know when they're getting it, it reduces pain. But when you inject them with the morphine in front of their eyes, they see it go in. That doubles the amount of pain relief a person gets. That's a placebo effect without a placebo.
Isn't there something, however, you know, inherently obfuscating, I guess, about administering a placebo? I mean, what have you found about that? Does a practitioner tell a patient that they're going to be taking a placebo?
Well, that's a really good question. First, the bottom line, the prevailing ethics in our society, and which I 100% agree with, is that no one should be given a placebo without being informed. Either in randomized controlled trials, you say you may get a real drug or a placebo, but in clinic, you should never deceive a patient. The principle of informed consent is bottom line. So one of the reasons we study placebo effect is it's a way of showing the power of ritual, symbols, doctor-patient relationship, and without the confound of medication. But some of our research suggests that it may be possible to give people placebos, be honest and ethical and tell them they are placebos, and still get a beneficial effect. It's an early stage. But clearly there's a whole, you're right, and I really agree with you, there's been a historic connection between nefariousness and duplicity and the placebo effect. And I hope that some of the work I do and other colleagues do is trying to change that relationship. The word placebo is a bad word for good effect, and it has that bad connection there of deception.
Dr. Ted Kapchuk, Associate Professor at Harvard Medical School, Director of the Harvard-wide Program in Placebo Studies, I want to thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
There's a lot more about Ted's work. To better understand the placebo effect, at wordofmouthradio.org and also on our Facebook page, Word of Mouth Radio. Now, coming up, we're going to speak to a hiker who took on the Appalachian Trail using GPS technology as his guide. Did I mention that he is blind? We'll hear his story when Word of Mouth continues.